Remember, Katrina, you must call me Doctor.
Have you ever thought what it's like to be wanderers in the fourth dimension? To be exiles?
This is the Doctor speaking. Well, one of them. Is there anybody there?
I hate computers and refuse to be bullied by them.
And their leader was called?
The Doctor.
Are you trying to tell us that you are the Doctor?
That's right. I've reversed the polarity of the neutron flow so the TARDIS will be free of the force field.
You may be a Doctor, but I'm the Doctor. The definite article, you might say. Would you like a jelly, baby?
I'm a Time Lord.
I'm the Doctor. Or will be if this regeneration works out. And it seems not a moment too soon.
How do you do? I'm the Doctor.
I am the Doctor!
I'm the Doctor, by the way. What's your name?
Rose.
Nice to meet you, Rose. Run for your life!
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'm the Doctor.
I'm Aldi.
Hello, I'm the Doctor.
Both eyes are cool.
It's not working.
We're both reversing the polarity.
Yes, I know that.
There's two of us. I'm reversing it, you're reversing it back again. We're confusing the polarity.
Anyone lose a fez?
Well, hello everyone, and welcome one and all to the TARDIS Blend episode 96 right here at geeksofdoom.com, the weekly Doctor Who podcast where we review each new episode of the television series Doctor Who. I'm Greg Davies.
And I'm Tom Sheridan.
And I think we just witnessed television history.
Did we?
I think we did. Let's get ratings out of the way. And just a reminder, everyone, we do talk spoilers. We're talking about the episode Heaven Sent, the penultimate episode of Doctor Who for this season, just before the finale. Ratings first, and then we'll get into the dissection of the entire episode. Tom, what was your rating?
You're not going to like it.
What do you mean I'm not going to like it?
You're just not going to like my rating.
Why am I not going to like your rating?
Because it's a 2.
Are you kidding me?
It's a 2.
Are you serious? A 2 out of 5?
I want to know why it's the 2.
Why?
I want to know why it's a 2. Okay. There's so much good in this episode. But this is kind of like the theme that has been bothering the crap out of me since you know Capaldi took over, and I feel like he's not going to get a proper run as the Doctor until Moffat steps aside. I love Moffat. I think he's awesome. I think he's a geek like us, and I think that because of that, holy crap, man, his stories move like molasses. And this one was painful to watch, and it was like, you know, if I just stop it every 5 minutes and then come back to it, it probably would have been cooler. Just didn't really have time for that. I was bored for a lot of it.
I honestly can't believe.
Really cool. And I felt, again, like, hey, dude, we got a two-parter where most of the meat could have been sandwiched into maybe 15 minutes, and then we could have moved the fuck on.
I honestly can't believe what I'm hearing here. This is mind-blowing to me. I found this to be a groundbreaking episode for Doctor Who. I thought Peter Capaldi's performance was through the roof, worthy of a BAFTA award, without a shadow of a doubt. I would rank this right up there with The Doctor's Wife and Blink, being one of the episodes that you could start off with. The mystery behind it.
Well, I don't think so at all, dude. You couldn't start right off with this one. You'd have no idea what's going on.
But that's part of the mystery of this one. That's part of the, that's
yeah,
part
Greg,
of the.
Yeah, Greg, if you were a new fan, you'd just get bored and move on.
I don't think so.
You don't find out till the very end, until, like, what actually is happening, like, what actually is cool. And that's assuming people actually stick around that long. Like, I think people are doing way too much fan service because of the nuggets of gold embedded into this episode. Like I said, there is so much good in this episode. There is so much good. And it's tough, and it's painful, but I feel like you don't, you know, I'm sick and tired of giving, like, pass-fail when these episodes just crawl by for me.
Uh-huh.
They're just too slow.
Well,
too much dragging on.
I'm obviously giving this a 5 out of 5. I have to. I think this was a stellar episode. It's by far. I mean, if I could, I'd give it more out of 5 than 5. It was that good. This episode, I had a glance at the Wikipedia for the episode. Critical reception. Heaven Sent received critical acclaim, with the majority of critics declaring it the greatest episode of the current series and possibly one of the greatest episodes in the show's run. Many instances of extremely high praise were aimed towards Stephen Moffat's script, Rachel Talalay's direction. Peter Capaldi's performance received universal widespread positive reviews. The episode currently holds a perfect score of 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, with an average score of 9.9, both the highest of this series.
That's still true.
And I honestly, I'm just flabbergasted. Did we watch the same episode? Are we watching the same television series?
You know me, and you know how I've just done nothing but been like, God, these episodes are just crawling by for me. And yesterday, and the one that we watched yesterday, it was just like, holy crap, I had to watch like a good 40 minutes before I understood why this episode was of value to me. I don't want to do that. I don't ever want to do that. The show's taking itself. You're focusing and you're zeroing in on the people who are going to review this shit. You're not actually like looking at it from a perspective of like, I don't know. For me, it just didn't work. It just didn't work.
There is one thing about you and me that we're very different about, and that is that I'm a big fan of long, drawn out, overreaching story arcs that have a lot of mystery about them. Like, I remember back when we did series 6, partway through the series, I was like, oh, this is amazing. I'm really digging this whole River Song mystery thing. And you were like, get on with it. You know, and so I think we provide, to our listeners anyway, a little bit of value in terms of, the variety of reactions that we have to that thing. So you're a very singular episode kind of person. You want to sit down.
You like singular episodes. I will say that.
Yeah. I like
really
things
like self-contained.
I like long drawn out mysteries that work together. Cause I love dissecting and I love all that kind of stuff. And with this particular episode specifically, it tied together so many different things for me, that made sense from things we had seen in previous episodes this season. Like The Secret of the Hybrid as another one. I mean, that we'll come to that in a minute. That the pathway to Gallifrey and how it was through the confession dial and where he was set for those billions of years, and just the concept of like, now we have a doctor that's, technically speaking, billions of years old.
Why couldn't we have seen all of that up front? Because I was bored. I got to tell you, man, I was so bored with this episode until probably minute 40.
I'm in such disagreement with you on this. I thought this was finally phenomenal. Started
to see things come together.
No, you're going to find out this is going to be an award-winning show. Mark my words.
Yeah. I just think that it's undeserved.
I disagree with you completely, but speaking of other things that I was right about, I was right about the Time Lords having a connection.
Yeah.
The whole pathway to Gallifrey thing. I mean, that.
Here's the other thing, Greg. I think that we might actually get a season ender worthy of a 5-star, because you know what we saw in that got me so excited?
What's that?
We saw the Time Lords, man. The Time Lords.
And the Sisters of Khan, and
so much good stuff.
And Maisie Williams, Let's jump into some of the. Well, let me ask you this though, Tom. I mean, you're only giving this a two. You found it really hard to get into, and I will give you the heads up. You might get some comments about this from people because you are in the minority. I will let you know about that. I mean, this is
here's what happens, Greg. When somebody likes it and you start reading it, and there's enough people at the very beginning that really, 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 really appreciate it, yeah. You just sort of jump on that bandwagon. And I thought about that because I'd made my conclusions and was like, no, you know what? I'm not giving it. This is like the. You could have gotten away with an episode like that if you hadn't dicked around the whole season, showing me these little bits and farts and, like, we're not going to actually drive characters.
I think
we're just going to worry about, like, kind of small, big plots, and then we're going to branch them out into two-parters. And I'm like, too much time is being wasted. I don't feel like I know what's happening. And, you know, I went back to it this time. I think it was the episode 11 in the last season where I said, I'm done with Moffat. I love Moffat as a creator, and I think he's a brilliant writer, and I think you should step aside because I'm done.
You know, there is some validity to your claim there. John Nathan Turner, who was it John Nathan Turner? I'm pretty sure it was. John Nathan Turner was a showrunner for Doctor Who during the 80s. I think he started as showrunner in 1980 until 1989. He was showrunner for 9 years. And, you know, immediately as soon as he took over, you could tell that there was a complete shift in tone to the series. I mean, even Tom Baker was very different, and he was out of the picture very, very quickly and replaced by Peter Davison. And that went well with Peter Davison, but what you found as time went on, there was a particular feel and tone that John Nathan Turner had brought to the series, which was great in its early few years. But as it dragged on, it just kind of lost momentum. And it's partially the reason why the series was canceled, to be perfectly honest with you.
And I feel like the show works best when all the parts are swapped out or shifted.
Yeah. Bring in some new blood, new perspective in that, along the way. And, you know, it looks like Moffat's with us for the next series as well. But I think after that, I think you're right. I think we need a new showrunner.
You know, I read, like you did, Greg, I read his kind of manifesto about why Eccleston didn't come in, which honestly, he already said most of that. He just actually didn't break it down. But I did appreciate kind of the insight of, we almost had like a whole second season with all the Who extras. And I didn't even know what the heck I was going to do for the 50th. I just knew I had to do something.
Yeah.
And to have it come together and be so amazing.
Well, the other thing about that came out about that was an aspect of speculation that we had talked about frequently. And that is that, the BBC had been dicking the Doctor Who cast and crew around. I mean, it was like it was 2 weeks before they actually had known that they had David Tennant and Matt Smith signed on for the show.
Yeah,
you know, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
That and the casting, you know, with Clara. You know, I said that her true ending, and like I said, I think that we got the companion we deserved. We got a unique companion that we just started to see in Clara, and then she died, and it was cheapened because she had so many false exits. And, you know, I gotta say with this one, this episode was a wonderful proper close to Clara. I really liked it, but I thought it was really confusing in that swapping without making it more obvious to me. Like I could figure it out, and it was cool, but it was like, I don't know, you know, maybe it was just like, and I watched it twice. It's just, to me, I was like, yeah, you need to do a better job of cueing people in on this is a memory.
You think
this is where time is slowing down.
Oh, I don't know about that. I thought that was very clear to the audience when that was coming through. I mean, even Capaldi broke the fourth wall during those scenes, looking right in the camera and said, I'm no good without an audience. You know,
for me, I just sort of like, okay, now we're in the TARDIS again.
Okay, well, let's talk about the good stuff. What did you like? Right. What did you like about
The good stuff, okay. The biggest thing that I liked was to see how the confession dial worked. That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Holy crap, dude. We didn't actually get a confession dial when we saw it before. When it was sent out, it was actually empty. The doctor had to fill it with confessions before it would actually be of value. But it didn't actually contain all the confessions because he kept some stuff for himself at the end over 2 billion times. So that was really interesting to me. I really like that. And it's like I said again, I think this is a brilliant, true ending to Clara, even though she's coming back apparently, even if in flashback. She's coming back next episode. I liked that they did do something different. Again, I gotta say, it pains me to give them a low score because they're doing everything that they should be, and it's just still not coming together for me. But to say that this is a brilliant episode on par with all of the other ones, I feel like you're really trying, and there's, to me, if you can watch an episode of Doctor Who with relatively zero history and understand absolutely everything of why it's cool, cool. This one, you had to be very Doctor-centric. Like, you had to be very tuned in.
You felt that there was
the Doctor was doing.
You felt that there was continuity-heavy. Continuity-heavy, yeah.
You don't have to ever have watched a Doctor Who episode to get that. Vincent and the Doctor, you kind of do, but you also get that whole feeling because everybody knows who Vincent is, you know? And that's where those episodes really come together for me. This one really just felt like it was just pure fan service, just stroking itself.
No, I couldn't disagree with you more.
I think this might be the biggest disagreement we've had on TARDIS.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought Capaldi on his own, brilliant, entertaining all the way through for me. I thought his performance was stellar.
I don't disagree with you.
Hang on a minute. Let me get into bits of that I dug about the episode. I love the idea of the TARDIS being the Doctor's mind palace, like from Sherlock. That when he thinks through a problem in split seconds, that's where his mind goes. I love that little aspect. The music from Murray Gold was superb. I think the whole life loop thing is a fascinating concept. It's certainly not the first time it's ever been used in a story. But I loved the way it built up and all the pieces fell into place at an exponential rate at the end. And I found that to be very satisfying at the end. You did not, obviously, but I
felt like the ending was the great part. Felt like you could have taken that entire episode and I felt like you could watch the preview next episode, like an extended version of it, and probably get everything that you wanted and be like, oh, that's really cool. And then maybe if you go back and watch it after you watch this second part two, maybe it does mean a little. And here's the other caveat that I have to say, Greg. I find it very difficult to review one part of a whole. And I have struggled with that a lot.
Yeah. Well, especially this season.
Yeah. It's hard. Because there's a whole lot more fruit to bear that was grown in this episode that I'm sure we will not see until the second episode.
Okay, so we got some questions and answers from this particular episode in terms of where we're headed for the season finale. Okay, and the big one, of course, is that the hybrid is a big secret. So let's talk about what does the prophecy or theory of the hybrid say from what we've learnt this season. Well, we learned from Davros that the hybrid would be created by the Doctor, and that's why he's running from Gallifrey. We also learned from this episode, the Doctor says the hybrid stands in the ashes of Gallifrey, and it was created between two warrior races, but the Doctor confirms that it could not be half Dalek, whatever else half, because the Daleks just wouldn't accept that. So
full Dalek.
Who is the hybrid, Tom?
The Doctor?
No, he's not.
Are you sure? Because he says it's him at the end.
No, if it was him, he would have said, "I am the hybrid." Instead, he says, the hybrid is me. Who else has gone by the name Mead this season? A Shielder. A Shielder is a hybrid between two warrior races, human Vikings and the Maiar. It all fits into place. So I'm thinking it's definitely a Shielder. I don't think the Doctor is the hybrid, but I do think the
Time Lord... It would have certainly explained, Greg, the comments that Moffat made about we're not just going to throw Maisie away on a quick and easy one appearance.
I agree. I think, and as a matter of fact, I think we are going to see, if not Maisie Williams, but most certainly her character over the next season as well. I think we will see a return of her character. I get the feeling that her character has the potential of the ones like Riversong and Madame Vastra and Captain Jack, people that have popped back up in the Doctor's life in different places and forms, that has so much potential with her character in particular. Okay, so the next thing that comes to mind for me is this confession dial. So let's think about last episode, okay? He is teleported from the location from Trap Street after we witnessed the death of Clara. So we now, after seeing this episode, I think it's safe to assume that
Can you reiterate for me, because I wasn't 100% clear, why was he sent away into that location?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Because that was all set up by somebody. And the TARDIS...
Shilda.
She was working for someone, and he had to put his TARDIS key in so that teleportation brace would go on his wrist.
Yeah.
So we still don't know who did that. I think, and I'm going to come back to an earlier theory that I had much earlier in the season. My theory was a little bit more grandiose and a bit far-fetched, thinking that the Doctor would create a bootstrap paradox for him to create the Time Lords. I think the bootstrap paradox is this whole pathway to Gallifrey thing. I think he is the one that set this whole thing up. And I
think so.
Yeah, I do. And I think we're going to see a character next episode who is the master that regenerates into Missy, and he gives her the confession dial. Because we see her with it at the beginning of the season. He puts the whole thing into motion, and the whole thing is a bootstrap paradox where you can't determine where it begins and where it ends, and nobody knows where the confession dial fits into the entire thing.
Yep.
That's where I think it's going.
Man, how do the Time Lords that we saw in the preview, how do you think they fit into this? I was shocked to see them.
I'm thinking that the prophecy or theory of the hybrid is going to fit into how Gallifrey returns to the regular universe. Because remember, I'm presuming that it's still trapped in the pocket universe where it was stored.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking the hybrid fits into that somehow.
I want to know, do you think that the Doctor goes there in search of answers, or do you think that he is pulled there?
Well, he was on the quest for Gallifrey anyway, and he says to the little boy at the end of the episode, tell them I came the long way around, which echoes back to his line at the end of the day of the Doctor, where Matt Smith says, at least I know where I'm going, where I've always been going, home, the long way around. And so he's always been going home. He just didn't really know how he was going to get there. And I think what we're witnessing here is a similar tale, very, very, very similar to Before the Flood. Under the Lake and Before the Flood, where the whole thing was a process by which the Doctor was deconstructing the whole scenario as he went, and it turned out it was a bootstrap paradox, and nobody could determine when he had those ideas that he had. So what we've got here is a massive time loop. And that's part of the reason why we had an explanation for the bootstrap paradox at the beginning of, at partway through the season.
Yeah.
That's where I'm thinking we're going.
So also, let's talk about this. Why was there conveniently a little child messenger boy at the end of that episode?
You know, I have no clue. I think that's just a random plot point that Moffat threw in there.
Gets lazy with these Moffats.
Well, I mean, the whole thing about landing on Gallifrey at the end of it all was an amazing conclusion. And
no, key some folks in. What did we see? Because that wasn't immediately told if you didn't really know the lore of Doctor Who. What was that? What was the Citadel? What does that represent?
Well, I think this is one of those things, Tom, that whenever you're going to get an answer on how Gallifrey returns and how the Time Lords return, you're going to need some previous knowledge on that.
I know.
You know, so
I think people are listening to our show.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it was most certainly revealed in the couple of trailers that came out for the next episode that is most certainly the Time Lords and they're on Gallifrey. And this definitely is, I would agree to a point with you that this was an episode for the fans, but I also think that the main portion of the episode, the mystery of the Doctor finding out that he's caught in this life loop, this fascinating concept of a life loop where he is regenerated in a completely different manner as the same Doctor at the end of each cycle to, you know, sharpen the beak against that diamond pathway to get to home, to Gallifrey. You know, it's just, I think it was a great story. I just loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, Greg. I think it was a brilliant story. As an episode, it just didn't work for me. I think I got, you would probably get, my math does not work. I liked so much in this episode. I did not like the pacing. I did not think that it was clear enough, and I think that they could have done, things differently, but I think my criticisms are mostly based on the I'm sick of the same old and I'm sorry I'm a curmudgeon-y bastard.
This is the thing, I really didn't see this as the same old thing.
It really wasn't, but it was the same old Moffat. Like, I'm like, alright, I know there's going to be a catch somewhere.
Well, of course, I mean, Moffat excels at reveals. He does very, very well at that. Probably much more so than any other writer in Doctor Who, I think. Russell T. Davies comes close to that. But and Moffat does have a tendency for loops. This time we had, it wasn't a time loop per se. It was a life loop, which was rather interesting. So it's rather disturbing to think that the Doctor has a pocket watch-looking thing in his pocket that has billions of his skulls.
Yeah, that is super creepy.
Isn't that weird?
So you don't think that the Time Lords are responsible?
See, that the question is,
I think that they are. I think it's fairly clear.
I would like to know where the confession dial came from. And I would imagine that it may have come from the Time Lords at some point. But I don't know whether it's even that important, really. I mean, it just kind of fits into the whole Beethoven metaphor that he was going on about in that one episode from earlier in the season. You know, who wrote Beethoven's music?
Yeah.
Who made the confession dial? I think that's going to be the question in this episode that we're never going to have an answer for. It's most certainly Time Lord technology. But where did it originate? I don't know whether we're gonna get an answer to that.
Man, all right, now I feel awful. It's getting a 3.
Are you sure you're gonna change it? Because
I'm
gonna
go up a 3. It's not. It's punishing the episode for sins past.
Well, the other thing is, like, that would push us up to an 8 out of 10. So that's, I think that's more, I think that is more
all right,
representative. It gets a data 10. Yeah. Yeah. I would agree. 2 is a little, I'm not trying to push you to change your rating or anything like that, Tom.
We'll definitely know the people who stop listening to podcasts and immediately.
Oh, no. I think people are going to, I would love to hear people's opinions about what our thoughts
are. I do. And actually, it wouldn't be the first time that my entire perspective on an episode has changed because of one of the people who commented on our show.
Yeah. And I'm absolutely, before we get into those comments, we do have one from Transmat Trev. Who begins everything? Who sets up the device in Trap Street and gets a Shielder or me to calm the Doctor in to putting his TARDIS key in? I think the Doctor does all that. I think the Doctor sets himself up to do that.
See, now I think my prediction is for next episode, Greg, is that we find out that the Time Lords are behind this entire everything. That the only person that the Doctor could really turn to trust is what is perceived as his greatest enemy or his greatest adversary, the Master, Nissi. And because of this, they're pissed off that he sent them away and they want retribution. And now they're going to get it. Or so they think.
Possibly. And I mean, the other thing that we need to consider as well is that
it's sort of like
there has to be. I mean, I think what we're going to see is an earlier incarnation of the Master or a very early version of Missy before she breaks out of the pocket universe.
Are we going to see what's his name? Rossilon.
I don't know because the well, let's take a look here because I want to have a look at the cast list because there was a familiar face in the episode. Donald Sumpter is playing the president, and Donald Sumpter. I mean, he's a fabulous actor. He's been in a lot of films, and he's actually been in Doctor Who before. I'm looking at he's been in 2 episodes. He was in The Wheel in Space with Patrick Troughton, and then The Sea Devils with John Pertwee. So he's from the classic Who days. So I don't know what's actually going to happen. Now I've seen a couple of trailers for this, but we also see the Weeping Angels show up in this next episode as well.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of the big bads.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I have no idea how this is all going to pan out, but I think a lot of it is going to key into Maisie Williams' character.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, do you think we should see all of the big bads? Do you think that's going to cheapen it? Do you think that Moffat's got a master plan?
Oh, I think he's got a master plan. And I think it's going to be, I think it's going to tie off the loose ends from this particular season so that he can have a good standalone Christmas special and a brand new season with a new companion next season.
Yes.
And it'll be a completely different feel and theme than what we've had this season and the previous season. I will admit though, I mean, and I think you would be inclined to agree, the standard of the episodes this season has been much higher than that of last season.
By a magnitude of 2.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been absolutely incredible, I think. So we've got a lot of stuff coming up in the next season. Okay, comment from Transmat Trev on the last post, and this was put up as the podcast went live. He says, "Hi guys, only me. No, you're right, no comment on the last episode, as I'm still reeling from shock. A beautiful portrayal of Clara's death, but I do agree that as we've seen her demise on numerous occasions, it took away the he says it was lackluster somewhat. Anyway, she's fulfilled her function and we will look forward to the next companion, onward and upward. However, I want to save my thoughts on this 3-part finale until it is played out. The next episode looks like another piece of BBC TV history in so much as that it's a one-hander and promises to be loaded with Capaldi magicness, giving him room to shine in the role in the role he can now call his own. I have absolutely no hesitation about this one, and sorry to bust your Who bubbles, Guy, but the bloody Radio Times mentioned Gallifrey in their pre-season preview some months ago.
Yep.
So I wasn't aware of that. Bastards, they should know better. But money on Missy, me, and Gus turning up somewhere along the way. On from that, Christmas beckons with Mr. and Mrs. Who. What fun. Then kill River off and start again proper. Thanks, Trev. And that's what we've got. So this week's episode rating of 8 out of 10 for Heaven Sent. And the finale next week, Hellbent, coming out, which will be our final episode of the TARDIS Blend for a few weeks before we come back for the Christmas special. Recommendations. I'm not actually going to make a Doctor Who recommendation. I'm actually going to recommend a movie.
Okay.
And the movie is called Triangle. Now, let me make sure I've got this all the details right here. Yes, Triangle, a British psychological horror film written and directed by Christopher Smith, starring Melissa George, and it was released in the UK in 2009. And basically, it's a similar premise to what the Doctor faces in this episode. In fact, I was talking with Andy Cerceni a little bit today, and he also agreed with me that there was a lot of inspiration taken from this particular movie for this episode of Doctor Who. So if you haven't seen the film Triangle, I highly recommend you check it out. British film from 2009 starring Melissa George. Well worth your time. You got any recommendations, Tom?
You know, I really don't.
All right. Well, we'll leave it at that for this week's episode, and we will catch you next week for another edition of the TARDIS Blend right here at geeksofdoom.com. You can catch Tom over at GigaOhm, and you can catch me at HeavyMetal666.com, and you can catch us both right here at GeeksofDoom.com. We'll catch you next week. Dilly Gaff.